Okay, as we just sang, it's a thought that we all have to examine ourselves and see if it fits us, but can God depend on us? See, there's much talk these days about dependability and depending upon others for your welfare and well-being and survival. And we hear about dependence all the time. Some people cannot help being dependent upon someone else, while many make themselves dependents to receive from others. All right, some people can't help it. They have problems, they have physical issues, they need assistance, either for mobility or to take their medicine or lots of things like that. We know that. But we also know that there's some people just have gotten to the point where they just want to depend on other people to provide for them. They feel that it's an entitlement that they receive these things from others. All right, but the caregivers, we know they need to be dependable. If you're paying someone to take care of your relative, you want them to be dependable. In other words, you want to count on them. You don't want them to be there when they're supposed to be there to give grandma or grandpa their medicine when they're supposed to receive their medicine and to drive them around where they need to be driven around to. They need to be dependable. If you have someone watching out for your kids, they need to be dependable. You need to know they're going to be there when you drop off your kids. And so, that's what we expect. We expect caregivers to be dependable. But we're going to look at some people the Lord is depending upon to see if we meet His requirements. The question is, can He depend on you? We're talking about God. Can God depend on you? Do we realize that man is the agency through which the Lord does His work in religion upon the earth? Sometimes we don't think about that. How is the Lord's message going to get out? How is His message to mankind going to get out? He is going to use us. He is going to use people to get His message out. See Philippians 1:6, Paul wrote, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." God expects us to do this good work. See, in Ephesians 2 and verse 10, it says we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. And so we are made to do good works. And this is what God is depending upon us to do. All right. Many believe and teach that in matters religious, the Lord does all the work necessary and no dependence or responsibility is placed upon man at all. And you can see that some people actually believe that because they don't take any responsibility. They don't do anything at all. And so this thinking comes as a result of Calvinism, which is one of the major predominant doctrines in the religious world, in the denominational world. And it's a doctrine which really comforts millions of people. And so they don't feel they have to do anything. Well, God does everything. And so I don't have to do anything. And that's, they're happy to go along with that type of teaching. See, the Lord told man to go out and preach the gospel. He was speaking to a bunch of men, namely the apostles, the disciples who were going to be apostles. Go preach the gospel to every creature, teaching them. And that's what we're supposed to do. Baptizing them for the remission of sins. That's what was told by Jesus. Then the apostles repeated that. And that message is predominant throughout the book of Acts. That's what they did. But see, the Calvinists say that's not necessary. You know, most of the denominational world does not believe that baptism is necessary for salvation. And I'm talking most. 99% of them probably do not. And he's also told believers to be baptized. And as Ananias told Paul, "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized. Wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." And so the Calvinists thought, oh, that's not necessary. See, they call this a work. We're not saved by works, right? That's what it says over there in Ephesians. Not by works, wherein any man can boast. No, no, no. That's a work. Baptism is a work. Well, there's a difference between the works of God and the works of man. And we have to know that. And so when God tells us to do something, that's God's work. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. All right. So they say baptism is not necessary. So the question is, are we going to follow the teaching of men that allow us to forego our duty to God, or are we going to believe God and do His will? Hopefully, we go for the latter. We all are going to say, well, I'm going to believe God, and I'm going to do His will. Hopefully, we will say that. Question is, will we do it? So since this is true, can we truthfully say the Lord can depend on me to do these things? Can He depend on me as an individual? Can He depend on us as a congregation to accomplish His will? See, we've got a list in the Bible that we find that of people that God could depend upon. There's a lot of dependable people that God recognized. You know, Enoch, Abel, Job, Noah, Abraham, Moses, Joshua, Gideon, Samuel, David, Peter, Paul, Timothy, and quite a few others. These are people who were dedicated to doing the Lord's work. And we can go back and quote from all of them and see what they said. But see, the Lord had work to be done upon the earth, and He could depend upon these people. Some of them didn't know it at the time. Moses didn't really know. He was in God's plans from the very beginning until he was about 80 years old when he saw the burning bush. And God said, I'm going to use you. What did Moses do? He tried to get out of it, right? He started offering excuses. I can't talk. I can't do this. I can't do that. And every time God says, there's a remedy for that, we're going to do it anyway. And so, all of these people, God used for the various purposes. And today, as we read from our scripture reading, there are apostles and prophets and preachers and elders and teachers, evangelists, all these people God brought forth for the equipping of the saints. That means to prepare the saints for the work of service that we're supposed to do. When we talk about the work of service, we're talking about the work of the church. And not just what the work of service as far as when we gather together to worship God at the assembly, the proper assembly time. We're talking about throughout this week, we have a work to do for the congregation. Our job is to promote this congregation. Our job is to talk to people about Christ and get them to see the necessity of turning their life to Christ. And when we do that, then we're going to be doing what God wants us to do. So we ask the preacher, can he depend on you to preach the word in season, out of season, to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and teaching? Preacher's job is to preach the word of God. Preacher's job is not to decide which words are politically correct or not. The preacher's job is to preach the word. As Paul said there in Acts 20 and verse 27, I did not shun from declaring you the whole counsel of God. But also as preachers, more than just preaching the word, we've got to live it. Live the gospel as well as preach it. Galatians 2:20, it's not I who live, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I live, I now live by faith in Him who died for me. So yes, we're to live the gospel. We're to live like we believe it. And so when we teach it like we live it, then it's going to be effective. But if we live a lifestyle compatible with the world and then try and preach the gospel, it doesn't work. It doesn't mix. And people don't believe it. Now, some congregations have elders. Elders have responsibility. We know that. The question is, can God depend upon them to feed the flock of God that is among you, taking the oversight, and to guide them and lead them on to those upper and better pastures? That's what elders are supposed to do, is to look out for the spiritual welfare of the flock and to provide what they need, whether it's additional teaching or training or guidance or whatever. That is their responsibility, and they lead by example. And their job is to keep the congregation as pure as possible. And of course, the purity is based upon the Word of God. Some congregations have deacons. Can you depend upon them to be subject to the elders and carry out your assigned duties as deacons? Yes, we don't have elders and deacons here, but we have members, and we're going to be talking about those in just a minute. Maybe some have had the opportunity to be teachers. Question is, can he depend on you to prepare yourself well for every class? You know, sometimes we have people that they don't prepare themselves at all. All of a sudden, oh, I got class, okay. And they just start, they get up and start leading class. But we need to be prepared as teachers to show forth in our life that which we teach in our class. So if we're going to teach people, this is what God wants, but yet we're living like the world, that kind of sends a mixed message. We cannot do that. So we need to live a faithful way. Paul told Timothy, be a good teacher and hold on to this sound doctrine. You'll save yourself and those that hear you. See, brothers and sisters in Christ, that's you. Okay? That's you. Pay attention. Can he depend on you in the worship and service of the Lord of the church of the Lord? Can you be here? That's what he's asking. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and teaching and breaking bread from house to house and in prayer, Acts 2:42. Can he depend on you to assemble with the saints at the appointed time set aside for studies and worship? See, we have Bible classes. And what do we do in Bible classes? We learn. We learn things about God. We learn things about ourselves. And we look at different ways on how we can be more pleasing to God. If you're missing the Bible classes, you're missing some valuable information. Because your soul depends upon everything that we learn. And so, we need to do that and not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And it's strange that we expect God to be there every time we need Him, don't we? When we start praying, we expect Him to pay attention to us and to respond to our request. But He makes requests of us, and how do we treat it? I don't feel good. I don't feel like it. I mean, we just have to be very careful about this. Sometimes we need to ask people to arrive on time and conduct themselves decently and in order and quietly in His presence. Yeah, that's done. We do conduct things decently and in order and quietly. Some of us get here late. To sing praises and not sit there with your mouth closed. Yes, we have that command to sing. It is a command. And we know from James 4:17, if we know it's the right thing to do and we don't do it, it is sin. If you come in here and everybody else is singing and you're just sitting there looking around or looking who's singing or not, if you're not singing, and remember what we said, God doesn't care what your voice sounds like. He wants to hear your heart. And that's where we sing from the heart. But some people just refuse to sing. We're commanded to sing, Colossians 3:16. And we're also commanded to listen attentively to the prayer. Sometimes when someone gets up and starts praying, we start thinking about the ball game, or we start thinking about dinner, where we're going to go for lunch or something like that. We get our minds off, and then all of a sudden you hear an amen. Oh, amen. If you haven't paid attention to that prayer, how can you say amen to it? Because the word amen just basically means, so let it be. What was said, so let it be. Maybe you're asked to lead singing. Do it with the best of your ability. Do the best you can when called on to do so. Sometimes note the words of the song, the new song, if you're familiar with that. Second verse says, I know that one of these days my voice is not going to be strong. So I want to praise Him because it is the greatest joy I have is praising Christ in song. And one day, we may lose our voice and won't be able to do that. Won't be able to sing with the strength that we did as being younger. So take that to heart. Give them all you got right now. And maybe your strength will carry you through. Members who ask to lead in prayer, pray in such a way that others might be able to hear and understand, and they would be able to say, Amen. Yes, our prayers should be generic for the congregation, taking time to ask for personal things in your life while praying publicly is not appropriate. But we do need prayers. All of us need prayers. And we do need to pray. So we need to pay attention to the prayer. Sometimes we're asked to preach or teach. We need to teach the word forcefully and humbly, with simplicity, so that others might learn and understand. As Paul gave instructions to Timothy, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and patience. But we have to have a knowledge of what we're teaching and know what we're talking about. And that's only going to happen when we study and prepare ourselves. Sometimes you're asked to fill in and teach a class. We don't have a lot of classes. We just have one right now. If we had some young people, we'd probably have a young person's class, which we need to discuss. But anyway, teach classes that people may be edified and built up in the most holy faith. Ephesians 4:16. We're all to be built up in our faith. See, to listen attentively and respectfully to the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. To partake of the Lord's Supper in reverence and respect with meditation, discerning the body of Christ. I mean, that's what we're supposed to do, discern the body of Christ. We read that just about every week from 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26. Sometimes keeping your children and trying to keep the noise down to a minimum. And sometimes people are successful with that, sometimes they're not. But you know what? That doesn't bother me. I'm more happy that they are here than mama keeping them home so they don't disturb anybody. Now, to each of you, brothers and sisters in Christ, you, which includes me, can he depend on you as an individual Christian in your everyday life to be an influence for good, both in your work and in your play? In other words, wherever you go, whether you go to work, whether you're going home, whether you're going for recreation, whatever, are you going to be a good influence? Doesn't do any good to get out on Saturday and get out and cuss with the guys and scream and holler at the ball players who aren't performing like you think they should and cursing the score of the other team's victory or whatever, and then go to church and praise the Lord. That kind of just doesn't mesh. You've got to be an influence for good all the time. Anytime you meet anyone who is not a Christian, you've got to find a way to influence them for good, to get them to look up and acknowledge God, to look up and acknowledge that we're here for a purpose. And God has told us what that purpose is. We're commanded to bear fruit to God's honor and glory. Romans 7 and verse 4 tells us that. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to bear fruit for God. We need to do that. And parents, bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. A lot of us are already past that age. We can't do that anymore. But some of us are still young enough, and some in this audience are going to have children someday. They're going to father children and mother children. And you need to make a determination from the day one that you're going to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That means you start from when they're in diapers. You start singing to them about God and telling them about God and what God does for His people and how blessings can be found in God. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And do we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light? Are we walking in such a way that He is pleased to call us His children? Do we pray, study, and meditate, visit the sick, and relieve the comfort and comfort the needy? You know, James 1:27, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, In James 5, if anyone's sick, let him call the elders to pray for them and confess your sins one to another. We need each other. We talk about it all the time. We need each other. Now, can the Lord depend upon you today to fulfill His trust in you? That's a question you need to answer. Maybe you have not obeyed the gospel or obeyed the gospel properly. One who has never named the name of Christ, one who has not been baptized into Christ for the remission of past sins, can he depend on you to obey the first principles of the oracles of God that you might become a Christian? A good question. Can you obey these principles by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10:17, and believing the Word of God, and believing in God, Hebrews 11, verse 6. Repent of your sins, Acts 2:38, Acts 17:30. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Matthew 10:32-33. And be baptized in water for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38, Acts 22:16. It's not hard. It's not rocket science. It's easy to do. We know that God has proven dependable over the entirety of human history. As long as man has walked the face of this earth, God has been dependable. Some passages say God is faithful. And He is faithful to Himself. And He will not deny Himself. And so, He has proven dependable. We know that He's there for those who love Him. Now the question is, are we dependable to God? Can you say the same thing about yourself? Can you let Him know that I am dependable to God? If not, it is time for a change in your life. I want you to think about that and ask the question as we sing the invitation song, can He depend on you? The question is to you. It's your choice to decide whether you need the prayers, you need to obey the gospel, whatever your need might be. We stand ready to assist you. All together, we stand and sing.